Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to this Saturday edition of Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. We appreciate their sponsorship. And, of course, one of the events that you should be aware of today, Players Bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Should be a lot of fun. A little bit of a different spin on the bankroll this afternoon. Come on into the Racebook today between 11 and 1. Put your name in the hat. 10 folks will get selected for the bankroll team, and they will be placing the bets. Each player will get $25 to play on behalf of the team. At the end of the day, the pot that is accumulated is split up between the team members. It should be fun. That's today, the Players Bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, come on down and get your shot on being on the team by putting your name in the hat between 11 and 1. So you have to be here before 1 o'clock to get your shot at the team. Also, Naira calendar giveaway today. First 50 folks through the door with their paid admission will get a 2021 Naira calendar. Doors open up in about an hour, so stop on by and take advantage of that. Online, there's a $100 knockout challenge today. You can check out the website for more information on the knockout challenge. And tomorrow, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so that should be a lot of fun in and of itself. But extra fun if you come to the Clubhouse Racebook with a double promotion, $100 win a bet and a match bet promotion today or tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook. Today's the Players Bankroll and the giveaway. Tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday with the double promotion. This weekend, lots of activity here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to head into our interviews. We taped a couple yesterday, both kind of focusing on a really nice, fun day down at Tampa, which is highlighted by the Sam Davis, three-year-old step on the Derby Trail. Don't forget the Withers on the Derby Trail this afternoon. They have a step on the Derby Trail tomorrow out at Santa Anita, so Derby Trail action underway. But again, this morning we're going to concentrate a little on the Sam Davis, the undercard stakes at Tampa. A little bit later on, Riley Mott will join us, of course, the assistant to his father, Bill Mott. They have some nice runners at Tampa today, including two real contenders in the Sam Davis, so that'll come up in a few. But we're going to kick things off this morning by talking to Ren Carruthers. If you watch the simulcast signal at Tampa, you see her doing the pre-race analysis and commentary, so I thought we would reach out and get some of her thoughts on the stakes action this Saturday afternoon down at Tampa. So up next, Ren Carruthers. Happy to be joined now by Ren Carruthers. You see her in the pre-race commentary on the Tampa simulcast. So I thought, who better to reach out to and talk a little preview day, Sam F. Davis, undercard stakes. Really nice afternoon on Saturday down at Tampa. Ren, good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you feeling?
Very good. Happy to have you on board to talk a little Tampa. I will say, we're up here in the Saratoga area, and we broadcast every morning, every racing morning from the Saratoga backstretch. So obviously we're homers. We love Saratoga. It's my favorite track. But the winter-spring season for me is really my favorite time of the year because I really like Oaklawn. I really like Tampa. And this season has been no exception. I'll get a little overview of the season from you. But so far for me, it seems like for those of us up here in New York, there are probably two, three, four races every week that could be Saratoga races. If you look at the trainers, Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, Graham Motion, Bill Mott will be in there. So that's fun. But just the locals down there, Sammy Camacho on the jockey side, Antonio Gallardo, who had his 2000th win a few days ago, Gerald Bennett. Mike Deeney, I've been on for the past couple of seasons. He's having another good season down there. Some of your impressions of the season so far, and are there any on the human side that when you're handicapping, you put an extra check mark next to?
Well, anytime you see Antonio Gallardo paired up with Darian Rodriguez, I think you need to pay attention. Those two are striking like 32% together, and that's not, you know, from a small sample size either, because that's all relative, right? Who cares if somebody is, you know, 32% if it's out of, you know, just a small selection of starts together. But it's a pretty ample sample size. Another thing I will say, you know, Sammy writes with such confidence. We've got Adamar Santos writing out here, who's been going balls to the walls also. As far as what you mentioned with Antonio Gallardo hitting that 2000th win, I've got to say behind me, you'll see two winner circle photos. Those are actually two horses that I bred and own, and Antonio got them both to the winner circle. So obviously I was stoked to see him get that 2000th win. As far as Tampa itself goes, it's such a fair track. I mean, and I think that's why you do see the heavy hitters bring in their horses. You've got a main track that plays favorably to, you know, any type of horse. It just really comes down to what that horse has coming into the race. And then that turf course is absolutely beautiful. I know some people might be like, oh, Chad Brown's taking a horse to Tampa. Maybe it's not one of his top stringers. But no, that is a fabulous turf course. And we have, you know, really great, classy horses running here at Tampa. And they've been here since the meet has started. Just coming in and out. And, you know, the thing is also that I will say regarding Tampa, if you do the work and you need to do the work, you need to get into Formulator or whatever, look up the charts any way that do that, you know, methodically, because the prices that strike 90% of the time are not aberrations. They really and truly do make sense. You just need to sleuth them out.
Yeah, I mentioned Oaklawn and Tampa. That's one of the things I like. Both of them, you can find some value if you do a little extra work and maybe get some things that aren't on the page, and that makes it certainly a lot of fun. I wanted to touch on one thing before we get to the races, and it kind of ties into what we talked about a moment ago with Antonio Gallardo, because when I have a guest on, I'll go look at the Twitter feed maybe the night before, and I pulled up a picture from your Twitter feed. I just sent it to the guys in the control room if they can pull it up. It's your daughter's birthday cake, and you said, I'm going to tip my cap to Antonio Gallardo and his winning horse. Top of the cake, it's jockey and horse. And I have to know, are those edible? Because if they are, I'm ordering my next birthday cake from you.
I did not make that cake. Since that was for her first birthday, we went ahead and we got somebody to make her a little cake. And I thought, how, you know, perfect would this be to have a little miniature Antonio Gallardo, you know, in our racing silks next to one of our horses who we got to the winner's circle, you know, in miniature form. But they are, they would be edible, but it's made out of the type of sugar that if you leave it to harden and set, you can almost keep it. Now, poor Antonio kind of melted over time. I do still have the horse, however.
Very nice. There it is. As I say, that is stepping it up birthday cake wise. When I don't remember, but I have pictures of when I was a kid, my mother put little plastic cowboys on the cake. This Aww. Is that's this is much better. I like that. No fans of horse racing in my family, though, when I was growing up. But that there are ideas for folks out there moving forward for them and their family. Again, nice job there. All right, let's jump in and take a look at the day on Saturday and work our way back from the Sam Davis, the highlight preview day on Saturday. Obviously, leading into Tampa Bay Derby day a little later in the meet. But the Sam Davis, boy, nice full field in here. And we did the stakes preview this week, my partner Mike Callahan and I, and we talked about some of these races. I like Candyman Rocket in here, and I have coming up a little bit later Riley Mott, and I'm going to get him to fill us in a little bit on the nice improvement Candyman Rocket showed in career start number two. I'll be interested to see how the odds shake out between the two Mott runners, because I like both of those. They are bookending Known Agenda, and so I pulled up a replay of Known Agenda.
That's my
topic. Yeah, going two starts back, because we'll watch Known Agenda break the maiden November 8th at Aqueduct. But notable here, Known Agenda is going to be the number 1A. Number 8 is Greatest Honor, and we know how good he's become. So I think a lot of people are going to look at this race and think Known Agenda off of that. Subsequently, Known Agenda came back, ran third in the Remsen behind Brooklyn Strong, who I think is going to turn out to be all right too. But give us your thoughts on the Sam Davis.
Well, I mean, to the horse that you like, I mean, obviously that's pretty eye-catching, that last performance, Candyman Rocket, putting up that, I'm a buyer girl, I'm going to put that right there. I know some people like the rag, some people like Thoroughgraph, some people like Equibase figures, Brisnet figures. I grew up with the Andy Meyer figure, so that to me is where I feel comfortable. I'll look at all of them too, but Candyman Rocket, I mean, makes that huge jump from a 52 to an 85, right? Now, is it because, you know, that first start, you know, you're green, you're in slop, or, you know, is it a combination of now you're getting a fast track and you're getting LASIKs, but now you're running without LASIKs today in this AMF Davis? That's the question for me. And when I'm looking at handicapping, I'm always looking to poke holes in horses' form so I can narrow things down. Now, he's a good enough price on the morning line and a good enough price that I think that will hold, that I'd still give him the benefit of the doubt. I did not make him a top three pick, although I totally understand why someone would even go forward to make him a top pick. I did go with Known Agenda, as I mentioned, as my number one here. And basically for the reason you outlined right there. I mean, in three starts, he's been up against some really good horses that have come back to do big things. In that debut there, going up against Highly Motivated, that's a really nice Chad Brown horse. And, you know, just going to what that horse went on to do was going to the Nyquist Stakes, which is on the Future Stars Friday undercard at Breeders' Cup. And he won that by 4 1/4 lengths, got a 96 buyer for that. We saw Known Agenda stretched out to that mile and an eighth next out when he won. And yeah, like you just saw, Greatest Honor went out later and to win the Grade Three Holy Bull by 5 3/4 lengths. Now, as far as that sloppy going the Remsen, I mean, maybe he just didn't like the slop so much. And it was also a field of five. And as we know, when you get a field cut down to a size like that, yeah, the pace shape really suffers. So, you know, all those things considered. And then I am a petty geek, so shout out to being a son of Hall of Famer Curlin. And then you're out of Barama. She won the Grade One Vanity back in the day at Hollywood Park on the synthetic. She was really good on grass as well. And we kind of know that horses first Saturday in May that maybe have a little turf pedigree do pretty well. Another fun fact regarding her is that Johnny V actually rode her in her final start for Bill Mott. And now he's on the Sun here. And we also know that Todd Pletcher and Johnny V together have been amazing here in a Sam F. Davis, first winning it back in 2006 with Bluegrass Cat.
Yeah, incredible team. Certainly we're very familiar with them up here. What are you going to do with Nova Rags coming out of the win in the you know, essentially prep for this, the Pasco?
You know, I think the horse obviously has a shot. You're by Union Rags. You have a smart strike mare, really great pedigree there. I actually didn't use him as a top three pick, though. He's another one. This is just one of those races. You could play it so many ways, and I wouldn't get on anybody. I ended up going in terms of a top three: Known Agenda, Hidden Stash, and then, I mean, we saw Pat B and Cone bring in Solo Volante last year to win it, and now he has another turf horse in Lucky Law who does have one of those flexible type pedigrees, and has been firing bullets on the main track. Or not here at Tampa, but there at Palmettos. And so that's a horse, when you're by No Nay Never, remember, he won the Group 1 Prix Mornay, and then he put up, I believe, a runner-up performance in the Grade 2 Swale on dirt. So, and then Scat Daddy himself, who No Nay Never is by, that was a dirt horse. And Johannesburg, his sire, had that flexibility, having been an undefeated champion over in Europe, then comes over here and wins our Breeders' Cup Juvenile and becomes Eclipse champion 2-year-old. So you have that flexible pedigree, so that's why I could see that horse potentially jumping up. And Pat B and Cone, you're not going to enter your horse in the Sam F. Davis unless you think he can handle the main track.
Yeah, interesting. Your top three, my top three. We talked about five different horses. We haven't mentioned Dale's horse, Smiley Sabatka,
who I think is really interesting.
It's a fun race, a very fun race. Sam Davis highlighting the card on Saturday afternoon. One race earlier, it's the Endeavor on the grass. I pulled up here because I like counterparty risk in here for Chad and Klarovich, and I pulled up the Lady of Shamrock from Santa Anita at the end of last year. Nasty is going to be the number 7 horse. Counterparty risk is the number 8 horse. You can see those Klarovich silks kind of gets a wall of horses in front, and they has to work out. Does Joel Rosario, and finally when he gets some room, makes a nice late run, just can't quite get to Nasty. But I like counterparty risk. But New York Girl, the Bill Mott runner that won the first start on the move from Europe, is interesting. Irony of Reality, I think, could be a little bit of a player at a price as well. What are your thoughts on the Endeavor?
Well, I went New York Girl on top, then Counterparty Risk, and then followed it up with Irony of Reality. Now, with New York Girl, I mean, it really just comes down to she's got such back class in those company lines from Europe. She's already a Group 3 winner, having won the Weld Park Stakes over Heavy Going at the Curra. They then put her in the Irish 1000 Guineas Group 1. She finishes 4th, only being 2 1/4 lengths. Those two horses, you see Fancy Peaceful, Fancy Blue, so wonderful in there. Those are some really nice horses. They must have liked that performance so much that they went ahead and decided to try her up against the boys in the actual Group 1 Irish Derby. She didn't fare so well that day, but it's all right. Tough group. Get Sop going then for the Irish Oaks. And then they switch her up, going from right-handed for those two starts, going left-handed, which you got to think about the muscle memory, right? So I give her a little bit of a mulligan there for putting in that ninth place performance. And again, you see Peaceful and Fancy Blue were in that race, who she did finish well behind, you know, well with prior. So, you know, she gets the time off, comes over here, gets, you know, in the Mott barn, gets into a routine, and she looked at ease winning that U.S. debut there at Gulfstream Park under Junior Alvarado. And Alvarado and Bill Mott obviously have been working quite well together. And this just looks like a filly who has so much more in the tank. And again, with that class backing her up, facing those types in Europe, I just think she makes the most sense on top for me. Yori went over Counterparty Risk. It's Chad Brown. It's Johnny V. It's Clarovich Stables. So obviously we know that she's going to bring a lot to the table as well. And then as in terms of Irony of Reality, you know, this is a horse that ridden by Hoover Villa-Gomez for Ron Potts, coming out of that La Proviant, won by Always Shopping. You know, that was without Lasix. That was at a mile and a half. She's now getting Lasix back. She's cutting back in the distance, so she should be extra fit. And, you know, because I like her, it's not so crazy to also like No Mercy Percy as another underneath type as well. But as far as in Irony of Reality goes, I mean, she's a game race mare. She's picked up a check in four of her six starts at Tampa, two of those wins, and I just think she could come flying late.
Yeah, you know, as I said, we did the stakes preview, Mike Callahan and I, and we were kind of saying, you know, this may be a race if you're playing the picks. Maybe you slim down, both Counterparty Risk and New York Girl. Looks like it's going to go through those two.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on a little bit earlier. The Suncoast, this one, the three-year-old fillies going a mile and 40. I originally liked Gulf Coast, and according to Dave Grenig, he tweeted out on Thursday that Rudy Bursette is going to aim for a stake in New York with Gulf Coast. So I eventually moved up Curlin's Catch. We're going to take a look at the maiden special, maiden breaker for Curlin's Catch, be the number four horse in here. Nice improving numbers. I also am a buyer guy. Nice improving numbers, start one to start two to start three. Start three was a move from the synthetic at Woodbine to the dirt at Gulfstream, so seemed to appreciate the dirt. So I'll put that one on top, but Honorific is intriguing to me, coming out of the close-up second in the stake last time. And Special Princess at a little bit of a price could be interesting. It's kind of the hometown player coming out of a series of races at Tampa. But what are your thoughts on the Suncoast?
Well, can you tell me what, because maybe I'm out of the loop here. I can't believe, so what's going on? Gulf Coast is still in, or is she?
No, no. She, according to Grenig, aiming for a stake, I think on Sunday at Aqueduct, because it's a little bit of an easier spot, Brissette said.
And, wow. And
that was a Dave Grenig tweet. And so I would normally say, so, you know, check the scratches, but Brissette then retweeted it. So I'm assuming he was
I would think that was pretty good. Okay, well, yeah, because she was my top pick. Now that she's going to be looking elsewhere, and thank you so much for the heads up on that. Breaking news. I'm looking then at the Curlin filly then, because she was my second choice. I'll just move her up into that first spot. Curlin's Catch, number four. You got Mark Cassie, Antonio Gallardo teamed up here. Antonio's ridden Mark's horses to victory, with a good strike rate. And yeah, like you're saying, this is a horse that's shown progression. I was listening actually to an interview that Antonio did with Ed DeRosa, and he was saying how he watched this filly's races back, and he just didn't think that she liked the synthetic there at Woodbine, and that first dirt start was really maybe a better reflection of the ability that she does possess. I don't even think she's necessarily a need the lead type, because I think it might have been just the fact that they broke sharp, they were able to go with it, nobody was able to go with them. Antonio was impressed also, he said, by that hack she put in going 46-2. And you know, another thing that one might want to consider is she's run all three races with Lasix. The Lasix comes off today. But that being said, I'm not as concerned about it with a horse like this. You're by Curlin, who won the Dubai World Cup Lasix free. Your dam sire is AP Indy, who ran Lasix free. And then she also has that class backing her up with damn near Catch the Thrill was a champion two-year-old in Canada. And then the third dam, Catch the Ring, was a champion three-year-old filly there in Canada. So you've got all, you know, just a lot going for this filly. And also just coming out of that race, you see Tabor Hall italicized. Obviously, she went on, got her maiden broken. And then the fourth place runner that day, Lenlo Lady, well, they dropped her to a maiden 50, but she scored by 10 and a half length in her next start. So, yeah, I just think this is a horse that has so much going for her. I'm also going to use Honorific. And as far as like a third pick, I'm going to have to go back and really, I was thinking Be Sneaky was one of those horses who looks a little sneaky. Yeah. Has a really, really good, great pedigree going for her. And I think she could be dangerous on the stretch out.
And Arnold Delacorte having a really good meet down there as well. That's one we didn't mention earlier, but got to pay attention to his horses too. All right, the Tampa Bay, the self-named Tampa Bay at Tampa Bay. Top of the page, I have written competitive race. I'm going to be interested to see which direction you go in here, because I have on the morning line a couple of prices. I'm hoping they hold up, and we'll go back and look at an allowance race at Tampa on January 10th. Talk or Listen is going to be the number one horse. Ian's is going to be the number two horse. They'll run 1-2. I'm looking to flip them up. I'm going to put Ian's on top. I say it often. As handicappers, we often try to get clever and switch things up, and they come in exactly the same fashion. But I'm going to look to switch things up, because Ian's was the 7-5 favorite that day and wound up second. So I'm going to look for him to get it done on Saturday afternoon. 8-1 is Ian's. Talk or Listen, off of that win we just saw, is 15-1 on the morning line. Like I say, I hope those hold up. Get Smoking as early speed. I think that horse is interesting. Delaware is interesting. But I could point to three more horses. Sol Volante, I'm going to be interested to see if he can rebound to the turf warm he showed very early in the career, because certainly the turf comeback in the Tropical Park Derby was not inspiring. But again, he had the very good turf starts to begin the career for Patrick Biancone. This is an intriguing race. As I say, I'm interested to see which direction you will go.
Well, you know, I'm more confident in my top pick than I am in my second and third choices, which I haven't really settled for sure on a third choice. I may have told somebody Sol Volante for that third pick, because, and you know, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to see this horse go from winning the Sam F. Davis last year to winning the Tampa Bay this year back on turf, right? But I ultimately, for the top pick, went with the two horse in here, that's Admission Office, for Brian Lynch and Julien Laroux. You know, and it's just a matter of, I think this race sets up for a horse like this. I think he needed that start back off the bench in the tropical turf, and that was at a mile. So I give him a line and not even worry about how that performance shook out. Prior to that, we saw him beat a class animal in Arklow, winning the Grade 3 Louisville Stakes. And you know, this is also a horse who's been able to kind of, you know, try to throw down with Halliday. We've seen him up against Zulu Alpha. We've seen him take on Catholic Boy. He has so much back class in here. And I just, again, think this is a horse that, that was the tightener, and this was the target. And Julien Laroux, obviously, he's won this race before back in 2011 with Doubles Partner, so he knows our turf course. And, yeah, it basically just comes to that.
Yeah, he's the one that scares me the most that I left out of my mix. But, again, I think you could go on four or five different directions here, six or seven maybe, and have kind of equal confidence. It's a fun way to kick off the stakes sequence down at Tampa on a really nice Saturday afternoon. So looking forward to tuning in, looking forward to seeing your comments during the afternoon, and always have been enjoying them as we are in here on the afternoons doing our own handicapping show. We'll check in and listen to the commentary from you down there as well. So we really appreciate your thoughts there and appreciate the conversation this morning. And certainly as the meet goes along, Tampa Bay Derby comes up, we'll check in again.
Oh, my gosh, I would love it. It's been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Ren Carruthers, again, you see her every day, every racing day, pre-race down at Tampa Bay Downs.
place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Thanks again to Ren Carruthers for taking the time. Again, taped an interview yesterday with her, and also yesterday we grabbed Riley Mott. And again, we'll tune into his thoughts on some of the stakes action at Tampa because, as I say, the Mott Barn has two live runners in the Sam Davis horse on the undercard as well. And they've had a really good past, 8 days or so, as well. So I wanted to hit on some of the winners with Riley as well. As I say, we caught up to him yesterday. He was out at Payson Park. Talked a little bit about that as well. Up next, Riley Mott. Happy to be joined now by our friend Riley Mott. We've had him on the show a number of times before. Assistant for his dad, Bill Mott. And they have some nice horses on the Tampa card on Saturday. The Sam Davis and some of the understakes as well. Undercard stakes. And so I thought we'd reach out to Riley. Riley, good morning.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you on. Talk a little bit about Saturday and beyond. And before we do that, you and I were talking before we went on the air. And just I'll reiterate on that again for people who may look in the PPs and see the pacing line for workouts underneath. Talk a little bit about it, because I said to you, when we've gone down to Florida, I've been lucky enough to go up and visit Palm Meadows, which is a really nice training facility. Never have been at Payson, but looking at the pictures, looks like a great place to train horses.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The boss has been coming here for almost 30 years now. It's kind of, you know, the focal point of our operation. We come down here in the winter time and, you know, put a lot of the foundation on the horses that, you know, eventually head up north and to Kentucky. And it's a wonderful spot, about hour and a half from Gulfstream, about 3.5 hours from Tampa. So, you know, we're lucky enough to be in a spot where we can run in both places if necessary. You know, it only holds 500 horses here, and there's a lot of land around. There's can't see any buildings or houses, so it's quite nice for the horses, and got plenty of turnout paddocks and open area.
Yeah, as I say, looking at pictures and videos and whatnot, looks like a great spot. I have to get down there for a visit sometime. Let's talk a little racing, but before we get to Saturday afternoon, boy, it has been a nice week for the Mott outfit, and I wanted to just touch on some of those. Wanted to go back a couple of days. I was in doing the afternoon handicapping show on Wednesday afternoon in here, and we were watching some Gulfstream, and Lake Avenue made her four-year-old debut, and boy, I was just so high on her coming out of the two-year-old season, the win in the Demoiselle, and then just didn't quite put it together in the three-year-old season. But it was a pretty good-looking four-year-old debut. We're going to look at the stretch run here, again, from Wednesday afternoon down at Gulfstream. Number 6, Lake Avenue, gets it done, again, in the four-year-old debut. Talk a little bit about how you and the outfit felt about her three-year-old season, but now what you're looking forward to for the four-year-old season coming off of the win on Wednesday.
Well, like you touched on, obviously, you know, when you have a Demoiselle winner, which in our eyes is one of the most prestigious two-year-old races for fillies there are, when you have, you know, a winner of that race coming down to Florida for the winter, you're very much looking forward to the Kentucky Oaks Trail. You know, that didn't quite pan out. You know, she ran okay down at Gulfstream, but didn't quite, you know, string along the campaign we would have liked for that particular season. We've had to stop and start a couple times with her, and you know, we always knew she had quality. She's a very nice filly, and she works well, and she's bred the right way, and it was very fulfilling to see her run like that the other day. Maybe a little bit of a new dimension for her. She, not exactly by design, she sort of missed the break and had to make up ground, you know, the second half of the race, and she put in a big run and won going away. So potentially a new type of running style for her going forward, but certainly it was nice to see her in the winner's circle.
Yeah, beautifully bred, and as they say, nice four-year-old debut for her. Anything in the, it's still too early to make a decision, or anything on the agenda for her coming up?
Well, we'll just, you know, see her get back under tack, take her back to the racetrack and see, you know, there's, you know, a few more stakes, you know, down here at Gulfstream, but certainly look forward to hopefully bringing her back up north and having a good second half of the year with her.
Also, within the last week, last Saturday out at Oaklawn in the American Beauty, Frank's Rocket got it done. We'll watch the stretch run there. Number seven, Frank's Rocket, the 3-5 favorite, and wins like a chart margin of a length and a quarter. She had a great 3-year-old campaign, and now this was her 4-year-old debut as well. What was the decision-making process to head out to Oaklawn with her?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons being her owner, Mr. Frank Fletcher, is an Arkansas guy, considers Oaklawn his home track, loves racing horses there. He was there on the day with a bunch of friends, and that was really fun to see. And it just, you know, looked like a good spot for her to bring her back after the Breeders' Cup, coming off a little bit of a layoff since October or November. And, you know, she's stacked up pretty well against that field and probably didn't run the best race of her career, which is not what we want. You know, we didn't want her to run too good. We thought it was a good starting place for her for, you know, this year's campaign. And it was, you know, logistically a little bit tough. There weren't any planes going out there on that weekend. Generally, we'd fly them there. But we had to ship her on a van, which is about 20 hours there and 20 hours back. So we're probably just going to take it light with her, give her a little extra time between races just to let her recover from, you know, the trip. But she came back well, and it was fun, you know, for Mr. Fletcher and everybody involved. So it was a good result.
Yeah, no, it was a nice 92 buyer, so it was a solid number, and it was a good-looking win. But, yeah, as you say, nice way to start the season. She wasn't all out there, but it was very good. And, yeah, I've made that drive. I have a sister who lives in Arkansas, so I made a visit to Oaklawn. And then I actually went to Tampa, but that was a long enough drive. If you're then continuing on to Payson, so I can see why she'll need a little time after the van ride out, the van ride back, but it was a nice performance. And just one more, last Saturday in the Swedish Chant at Gulfstream, White Frost won. And that was a good win because Con Lima looked good on the front end, not only coming into the race, but in the race itself. But White Frost runs down Con Lima, and Con Lima was the 6-5 favorite. A little bit of a price with $11 paying for White Frost. Lightly raced. This was only her fourth career start. So you have a nice little 3-year-old turf filly on your hands in White Frost, I would think.
Certainly. You know, she always trained like a nice filly down at Belmont. She ran, you know, a couple times on the dirt with a distant second, and I believe in her second start. Put her on the turf and won very convincingly. Junior came back and told the boss that was probably one of the nicest two-year-olds he's ridden for us. So, you know, we had a lot of confidence, you know, bringing her down to Florida and running her back in the Swedish Chant. You know, knew she was doing well and she had some quality, and she really ran like it. She's a very nice filly for a nice owner in Gainesway, and you know, hopefully there's some bigger races on her dance card later.
Yeah, 2-for-2 on the turf now, so we'll look forward to her moving forward. But let's look forward to Saturday afternoon. Let's switch gears and get some thoughts on your runners down at Tampa on a nice card highlighted by the Sam Davis. And let's start with the two runners in the Sam Davis. We did our stakes preview. Mike Callahan, my partner, and I taped that. And I like Candyman Rocket in this race, so I'd love to hear you talk about this one a little bit. We're going to look at the maiden breaker from January 9th. Candyman Rocket will be the number 4. Nice, solid 85 buyer figure in the second career start. But more notably, nice improvement from the first start of the career at Churchill. Talk a little bit about Candyman Rocket and the really nice improvement, as I say, start 1 to start 2.
Well, I mean, he was working well you know, at Gulfstream, Churchill for his debut. He always acted like he had some quality. I knew our assistant Kenny over there liked him. He's a, you know, tall, scopey horse that looks like he could get two turns. Whether it was the sealed sloppy track in his debut or maybe just the lack of racing experience, he might have just needed the start. But we got him down to Florida, and he trained very forwardly and you know, ran like it second time out. You know, as far as the two turns, mile and a 16th goes, obviously that's an unproven task for him right now. You know, body type wise, he looks like he could get the two turns, but you never really know until, you know, you put him in the starting gate and see. We're obviously hopeful he will. Looks like he'll have, you know, a little speed to his inside. I think there's a horse named Boca Boy that could show a little speed. So whether we're on the lead or not remains to be seen, but I could see us being forwardly placed. And, you know, if he can replicate that last race or improve, he should be competitive.
Yeah, like I said, I like him off of that last race. The question mark will be the two turns, but at this time of the year, a lot of horses are having to answer that question. Let's take a look now at your other horse in the race, Nova Rags. And this, we're going to look at the Pasco back on January 16th at Tampa, 7 furlongs. Nova Rags is going to be the number 8 horse, winning here by a chart margin of just under 3 lengths. And I'll ask you, as a horseman, as a handicapper, I appreciate horses that have a race over the Tampa track, because I think it can be a little quirky. Some horses take to it, some horses don't. So does that add a level of confidence, and do you agree that some horses maybe appreciate getting a little experience over the track, and when you have a win like Nova Rags, that's a bonus?
Certainly. I mean, that was one of the reasons we opted to come back in 3.5 weeks and run in the Sam Davis off that win. He shipped there and ran well over a track that can be a little funny. You know, we have the old saying, like, you could get Secretariat beat on the dirt at Tampa. You know, it just plays funny sometimes for shippers. And but we were pleased that the horse ran so well on that day. Like I said, not really our game to come back in 3.5 weeks and run in a race like the Sam Davis, but the horse, he came back well, was training forwardly. He's a sound horse. So we figured we'd give it a try given the circumstances. He's a good looking horse that looks like he's got some quality. Hopefully he can improve on that effort. He hit the front in the Pasco and started to look around a little bit and kind of got off the task at hand. And we're hoping he can mentally improve a little bit and put in a similar, if not better, effort.
And is that something you typically see in horses? I mean, that was only the 3rd career start. Is it, again, as a handicapper, I always look at, particularly, there are horses that sometimes the first 2 or 3 starts just aren't that much, and then all of a sudden there's a breakthrough effort. And I always look at it as the light bulb moment. But again, as a horseman, is there that such of a thing, the light bulb moment, where they just kind of figure out, oh, this is why I'm here, and that the attention goes to the race as opposed to looking around during portions of the race?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, as young horses, they always train in company when they're getting broke. When they come to the track early in their 2-year-old year with us, we train them, you know, head and head with other horses. We have them follow other horses. You know, they're herd animals, so they like being around each other. And occasionally when you get a young horse or a green horse that, like in his last race, hits the front early, he can get to looking around a little bit, just, you know, sort of lost by himself. So that usually comes with racing experience, you know, just getting over that little aspect of it. But he's a, you know, you like to see a horse that has the potential to get better, who's won a race like the Pasco. So I think, you know, he's got a lot of potential, and you know, hopefully the racing experience helps him.
Very good. Let's go a little earlier on the card in the Endeavor. The Mott Barn has New York Girl, and we're going to take a look at the first start in the United States for a horse that was knocking heads with group level runners over in Europe to start the career. But she came over and on New Year's Eve over at Gulfstream, put in a nice optional claiming win. New York Girl is going to be the number 1 horse here. to get it done, as I say, in the first start in the United States. Now you move over into a graded company at Tampa. What are your expectations Saturday for New York girl?
Like you said, you know, she broke her maiden in a group three over there in Ireland, and after that she had a pretty ambitious campaign, to say the least. She ran against some top class company and you know, brought her over here, and she was race fit when we got her, so we only had about 4 to 5 works in her before we ran her at Gulfstream, and you know, trained on like a nice filly and ran like it. I think she's certainly taken a step forward since that race, physically and mentally. And we're really excited to run this filly back on Saturday. Doing quite well, and it looks like she fits with that group.
Yeah, and working on the turf at Payson. So just another Payson question. There's a dirt course and a turf course?
Yes, a 1 mile dirt course and a 7 furlong turf course, which they've since renovated since Peter Brandt bought it a couple years ago. So they've done a very nice job with the facilities here at Payson, which we're lucky to be able to use.
Yeah, nice. And finally, I just want to touch quickly on the Suncoast because you have Jade Empress in here. Again, we're going to take a look at the maiden breaker for Jade Empress, January 6th. Jade Empress is going to be the number 2 horse here to get it done, break the maiden in career start number 5, and maybe one of those light bulb moments as the buyer figure jumped up 20-some points from the previous start, and it was a nice-looking maiden breaker. This looks like a tough, very competitive race, the Suncoast. I think I could point at 4 or 5 in here and have an equal level of confidence. What is your confidence on Saturday for Jade Empress?
Well, I'm pretty confident that we're not going to be in the winner's circle because we're actually going to opt to scratch.
Okay.
Silly. We, you know, like you said, pretty competitive bunch. We entered her, you know, just thinking if we were top 3 choice, we'd give it a shot. But we're just going to opt for an easier spot for her. So you won't be seeing her in the Suncoast, I'm afraid.
All right. Good news. Not good news, good information, I'll put that, we can put a line through that one as we're handicapping for Saturday afternoon. Riley, as always, appreciate the conversation. Wish you and the team a lot of good luck on Saturday afternoon, certainly, and we will talk again.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Riley Mott, again, assistant to trainer Bill Mott with some really nice live runners on Saturday at Tampa Bay Downs.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks again to Riley Mott for joining us. Again, I like the 2 Mott horses this afternoon, in the Candyman Rocket in particular, in the Sam Davis. We will see how that works out. All right, a few minutes left, so we'll just do some news and notes here. First up, They came out with the January national handle numbers a few days ago. These are amazing. You know, given the pandemic and whatnot, I've said it for 6 months or more now. The racing industry, I think, has done a great job in this pandemic to keep going and actually kind of building the sport, it seems like. Certainly with television coverage and whatnot, maybe we've developed some new fans. And you have to wonder if these January numbers don't bear that out. Don't forget, we're comparing now pre-pandemic numbers. Last January was before the pandemic and all the restrictions hit. So these numbers are pre-pandemic to now a pandemic January, and the handle went up 9.5% last January to this January. Last January it was $875 million. This January, $959 million, 9.5% increase from pre-pandemic to now the pandemic racing. That is with up, you know, just a little under 10%. With just about a 10% decrease in race days, about a 6% decrease in the number of races themselves. So number of dates and races has gone down, that handle has gone up. And as I say, I think this kind of bears out that maybe the coverage that racing has gotten during this period has developed some new fans. You know, we'll certainly hope that is the case. And things hold up as we progress through this year. And again, I'll knock wood, things return to some sense of normalcy, maybe with the vaccines and whatnot. And we'll see how racing holds up moving out of the pandemic. And if these numbers hold, possibly improve as well. But certainly the numbers when they came out a few days ago, very encouraging for the racing game. Talk a little bit about this on the Handicappers Report earlier, but do note that this afternoon at Gulfstream, the seventh race will be interesting to watch as well on the three-year-old scene. You know, we have the Withers in New York. We have the Sam Davis down at Tampa. We have, I think I said earlier, the San Vicente. I was looking at a national racing calendar middle of the week, and they had the San Vicente listed as tomorrow, but it's today. The San Vicente, a nice stakes card today at Santa Anita. But that another step on the trail for three-year-olds. So New York, Tampa, out in Southern California, three-year-olds. But down at Gulfstream, maiden three-year-olds that'll be worth watching. And as I say, we mentioned this a little bit earlier on the Handicappers Report, but the seventh race at Gulfstream today at about 3:10, a half-sibling to Code of Honor, Bears Watching by Kara Conti, who is a really good sire of first-out runners, I will say, or win-early runners, but gets hung outside a little bit, being number 12 in a field of 12. And again, it's Shug. His always aren't cranked up necessarily to win first time out, but we'll see. It's a fun and an interesting field there, race 7 at Tampa. There's another horse called Campeador, who is a sibling to Mucho Gusto. There is also Buck Moon. I'm just looking. Campeador is the number 7. Buck Moon is the number 6. That one's a half to Keen Pauline. There are some other runners in here that are first-time starters that attracted a lot of money, have potent connections. That seventh race at Gulfstream this afternoon, going to be worth taking a look at. And certainly we will a little bit later on OTB Live. This is kind of interesting. When you want to talk about potent and trainers in the 21st century who are loaded, take a look at the Triple Crown nominations. Triple Crown nominations come out, and five of the nation's top trainers have just about 38% of the nominated three-year-olds. There were 326 nominees, Triple Crown nominees, when the list came out. 122 of those were either Pletcher, Baffert, Asmussen, Chad Brown, or Brad Cox. Pletcher led all of the Triple Crown nominee trainers with 45 nominees. Baffert had 23, Asmussen 22, Chad Brown 18, and Brad Cox had 14. So again, they had 122 of the 326 nominations for about 38% of the total amongst those five. Talk about an embarrassment of riches, but nothing new, really. Brad Cox maybe is a little bit new on the list. The other four certainly have been prominent for a few years now when it comes to Triple Crown runners, and Triple Crown potential. Speaking of that, another race we talked a little bit about on the Handicapper's Report earlier, the fifth race tomorrow at Santa Anita. You want to watch this one for Bezos, who goes out for Starlight Racing and Company, Bob Baffert. And again, you don't see a horse make the Kentucky Derby future pool without a start under the belt. Bezos did. Why? There's been some whispers going back to Del Mar for Bezos. First-time starter for Bob Baffert. We'll see. Again, potent connection, certainly. They paid $400,000 for this horse at Keeneland September 2019. It is a little bit of a belated debut, February, the three-year-old season. Can Baffert get this one to the Derby? Well, step one will be tomorrow. Again, race number five at Santa Anita for Bezos. So we'll see if this one lives up to the hype, because certainly there has been some hype for this one. And it's a Brian Netto said it on the Handicapper's Report earlier. It's a salty little field in here for Bezos to make the debut. There are a couple with some experience already that look pretty good. Baffert has another runner, Tivoli Twirl, who could be okay in a debut effort as well, working very well by Twirling Candy. So, again, that's tomorrow afternoon, race five at Santa Anita for the Baffert, highly touted Bezos to make the career debut. And, again, this afternoon, Withers at Aqueduct, Sam Davis at Tampa Bay, and going off, 6:14 our time. That's scheduled post time. 3:14 in Southern California, 6:14 our time. The San Vicente Grade 2 event for the three-year-olds going 7. Baffert has a couple in here. Only a field of 6. He's got Freedom Fighter, who won the career debut at Del Mar. Hasn't been seen since that August 1st start, but is working very well by Violence, so bred to be precocious. Also for Starlight and Company, pretty much the same connections as Bezos. But that's this afternoon in the San Vicente. Baffert also has concert tour for Gary and Mary West. Also a debut winner, this one at Santa Anita just a few weeks ago, middle of January. Doug O'Neill has Found My Ball. Again, it's only a field of 6, but some interesting runners in there this afternoon in the San Vicente. Again, that'll go off our time at about 6:15 or so, so keep that in mind. Speaking of Santa Anita this afternoon, also keep in mind that there is a mandatory pay in their Rainbow Six out at Santa Anita. They are promoting it by saying they're anticipating $5 million in the pool. I don't watch Santa Anita and their Rainbow enough to make a prediction. Gulfstream, I can kind of guess it, and it when they have the mandatory, you can expect that to go up significantly. I would think Santa Anita probably as well. They'll attract some attention. And as I say, they're anticipating, they're promoing it as potentially $5 million, and I would think they're probably going to be there, or maybe with the promotion a little bit light, it may go above that. But again, keep that in mind, a mandatory this afternoon out at Santa Anita in their Rainbow Six. Let me hit you with the promos before we wrap it up for Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. Today, the Players Bonus, a brand new promotion. It should be a lot of fun. Players Bonus Bankroll. You come to the race book between 11 and 1. You fill out a slip, put your name in the hat, and at 1 o'clock, 10 folks will be selected to be on the bankroll team. Each of the 10 folks is given $25 to play. All the winnings go into a bankroll pool that's split up amongst the bankroll team at the end of the day. So hopefully we get some clever players and a lot of money is made. Everybody at the end of the day walks away with a big smile on their face, but it should be a lot of fun. Players Bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon. But again, between 11 and 1, you have to be here by 1 to put your name in the hat to get your chance to be selected on the team. That's all happening at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Same spot for the NYRA calendar giveaway. That'll kick off in just a few minutes. Doors open at 11 a.m. and the first 50 folks through the door get a NYRA calendar with their paid admission. Online today, there's a $100 knockout challenge. Go to the website for more information on how to participate there. And tomorrow, being Super Bowl Sunday, a fun day to swing by the Racebook and take advantage of a double promotion day. Tomorrow, $100 win a bet contest and a match bet promotion, both here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. As always, a fun weekend scheduled here at the Racebook. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America. Again, thanks to Ren Carruthers for joining us. Thanks to Riley Mott for joining us. Looking forward to a big afternoon at Tampa Bay Downs, highlighted by the Sam Davis. That, of course, will be one we'll look at as the afternoon progresses with OTB Live. We'll jump in with some OTB Live probably in less than an hour because Tampa has a fairly early post time. Their post time is, I'm just looking at the monitor, about 50 minutes away for the opener at Tampa this morning. So we'll jump in a little before that. So we'll be back with OTB Live for Saturday afternoon in less than an hour. Should be fun, looking at some Tampa and some Aqueduct, some Gulfstream, and the other tracks will come in the mix as well as Saturday afternoon progresses. So hopefully you'll stay tuned, and we'll all make a little money this afternoon because that's what it's all about. So thanks again for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.